this Friday morning. The text line is ablaze. Some people saying they did not like Nathan Greenfield, my guest. He was biased and he doesn't like Trump and he doesn't respect Putin. And then there's people who are frustrated that I'm saying that I think Trump is at least accomplishing something that not many people have been able to accomplish. He's sitting down with Putin. He's trying to get an end to this war. Others are saying, don't kid yourself. That's not the agenda. So the text line is busy, which is good. 1-877-332-8255. Some people feeling, Steve in Saskatoon, one of them, essentially that this is political. And there are some people, he's pointing at liberals, that would rather see Ukraine smoldering and destroyed rather than give Trump any credit for advancing peace. 1-877-332-8255. What do you think? Is the meeting today between Trump and Putin going to accomplish anything? Let's go to the phone lines. Jack in Regina. How are you, Jack?
Well, Evan, I hope you had some good holidays this summer and go Riders go.
That's right, go Riders.
Thank you for getting Greenfield on. I think that I'm a bit of an optimist as well. I like to go to the positive side and also a bit of a historian. I think you had a stellar historian and analysis presented, and I think he's right. I think that Putin's playing for more time. He's not to be trusted. He wants Ukraine. That's where he started. That's where he wants to finish. And the fact that Zelensky is not included in discussion, and he is the president who says, I can't give away my country. I do not have that mandate politically or constitutionally to do so. There's going to be no land swap. And I think it's not going to go well. The only thing that I can hope for in the long term, and that's where I've been sitting for quite a while, is that the oligarchs in Russia say to Putin, you're destroying the economy. We've lost billions of dollars. You have to go, or else the European common market and all players bring Russia to its knees with sanctions economically. I think that's the only way that's going to end.
You know, people that speak out against Putin find themselves falling off of a plane, usually. So I don't know. I don't know if that's going to happen. Jack, let me ask you this question before you go. You got a second for me?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So, you know, if I'm a negotiator and I'm trying to work with two sides to bring them together, it is not uncommon for me to sit down individually with each side and talk to them. So is it completely wrong that this meeting that's happening today is an attempt, a one-on-one attempt for Trump to, as he said, in some ways, listen, understand, and a step towards bringing them together? Can he be faulted for that?
No, I'll give him credit for that. But the outcome is not there. And I think that the fact that Zelensky has said, we're fighting for our lives, for our sovereignty, for our integrity and our preservation, and he's not there, and Putin is going to simply say, we want territory, blah, blah, blah. I think it's dead in the water. I'll give Trump full credit for trying to pull them together.
Jack, always appreciate your call. Thanks so much for giving us a ring. 1-877-332-8255. I'd love to hear from you. What do you think? Is this meeting today between Trump and Putin going to amount to anything? Number of people saying, look, at least he's trying. That is a common thread on the text line. I've got people on the text line saying, Evan, first and foremost, I don't like Trump, but... There's a number of people saying he deserves some credit for the things that he's trying to accomplish, whether it's for the good of the people of the United States or trying to bring about world peace. Kathy in Martinsville, Trump is only meeting with Putin because he wants to appear as a peacekeeper so he can get the Nobel Peace Prize. He hasn't shown any support or concern for Ukraine at all. Sure, Putin will meet with Trump because Trump will give away Ukraine. So he can say he ended the war. No meeting about Ukraine should be happening without Ukraine and Zelensky at the table. I agree. Zelensky needs to be at the table. But as I said, think about, and I'm sure I'll be criticized for minimizing or approaching it this way. But if in my policing career, I responded to a conflict between two people, I don't care what it was, domestic violence, domestic conflict, neighbors fighting, we typically would sit down and talk with each one separately, hear their side of the story, and then at some point you bring everybody together and say, okay, this is what I understand you're saying. This is what I'm hearing from you, right? Interest-based negotiations and bargaining 101, bring them together and see what comes of it. So I think, yeah, eventually we need both of those two leaders in the room, but I also understand what the strategy is in this meeting here. Let's go back to the phone line. James from Saskatoon. Will anything come of this meeting today, James?
Well, I think that we are often with Trump like to underscore that nothing will happen. And I just want people to reflect back to how they thought events were going to unfold with Iran, right? And everybody was calling for it to be the next step of World War III and all of these other items. And where are we today in regards to that, right? So I tend to think what Trump is doing is a wise decision. He's trying to use diplomacy. Certainly there's, I think at the end of the day, he is a friend to Ukraine. It may not seem that way, but at the end of the day, this is a skirmish or intervention that is dearly needed, and I have to applaud him for at least the efforts that he's trying. Right? Now, who else is stepping up to this degree?
Is it? Do you think it's going to result in anything? Like, will this be a catalyst for something?
It has to be. It has to be. Like, who else is doing anything else? You know, traditional positions are where they are, and everybody's fighting for their dear existence. But at least he is offering some form of discussion to this. And this is where, as you've stated, you know, when you want to try and change the resolve of both parties, you need to have a conversation with them. Mm-hmm. And nobody else seems to be having that to this degree. And I think that for these efforts, he will be rewarded for that.
Appreciate the call, James. 1-877-332-8255. I realize I've got a bit of a kind of a one-track focus. Sometimes I relate so many things back to policing, but you know, I think about sitting across the table from someone who's committed the most heinous crime. You are still, the strategy often isn't to go in there and anger them. The strategy is to build a rapport, to show some empathy and understanding, to essentially try and help them see that you understand their side. But how are we going to get to a resolution? Whether that resolution is solving the crime, mediating the problem, whatever the case may be. So, yeah, Donald Trump sitting down with Putin. Now, I know there's a ton of people saying, you know, the motives are not sincere. They're self-serving. It may be. Maybe Trump wants to win the Nobel Peace Prize. If he can end the war, give it to him. Right? If he can, like, let's not try and get in front of ourselves on this one. The goal here is to stop people from dying, stop children from innocent people from dying. I don't care which side of the border. Yeah, we'll see. Number of people, Calvin and Warman, saying the only reason Putin has agreed to sit down with Trump is unlike any other president the United States has had. He's offering Putin something, mineral resources or something out of Alaska. So he's there out of personal interest. Number of people saying this is just another example of people who have Trump derangement syndrome. There's a lot of people, and I'm seeing it on the text line, and I would be one of them, who isn't, I've said this on the show before, not a Trump hater, but also not a Trump supporter. I can see both sides, and it tends to be issue-based for me. I can be angry and frustrated with Donald Trump, but I can also say, you got to give the guy credit, whatever, in whatever the situation might be. There's a lot of people coming through on the text line that are saying that. This is one where we have to recognize that at least there's an effort there to get the ball over the goal line. a conversation that will continue, I'm sure, throughout the next little while. In fact, we will wait to see what the result of today's meeting is between these two leaders. And of course, our newsroom will cover that, bring that to you as it unfolds today here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Welcome back to the show, Evan Bray. Great to have you here. I started the show off by saying what a busy weekend this is in the province. And of course, a lot of people will be heading to the Rider game tomorrow, 1 o'clock start there. But throughout the province, there are things going on. I have to say Saskatoon, probably one of the busiest communities this weekend. Rock the River, Folk Fest, the Show and Shine is happening. And there is a big tournament. In fact, this is kind of an early start to our Bugs and Hugs segment, which is coming up at 10 o'clock. But I want to send a hug out to the Saskatoon Challenger, an international women's tennis tournament. It's been going on all week. The final is coming up on Sunday. And I'm happy to have Saskatoon Challenger Tournament Director Landon Grube joining me in studio. Landon, thanks for popping in.
Thanks so much for having me. Really excited to be here with you today.
Let's talk about this. It's a big tennis tournament. How long has Saskatoon Challenger been happening?
Yeah, well, our tournament goes back to about 2011 when we first started. We've been going every year since. We missed a few COVID years, but we switched to a women's event in 2019, and that's what it is this year as well.
Yeah, and you bring some great talent and people that become big names, and I'm jumping the gun here, but Victoria Mboko, who many people will know, a great world stage, world-class tennis player, actually not only competed but won this tournament.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, back in 2022, when she was only 15 years old, she came to our tournament and really kind of blew away the competition. And we were fortunate enough to be her first pro title that she's ever won at 15 years old. Mm-hmm. So it was very interesting to see back then, you know, the power and kind of the mental game she had even at that young age. You know, I remember speaking to a lot of people saying, you know, yeah, watch her, keep your eye on her. You never know exactly when or if it will happen, but she definitely showed that potential of being a world-class star that she's turning out to be.
When you think about Saskatchewan sports that people are passionate about, hockey would jump right in there, curling would be in there, maybe baseball. How big is tennis in the province? How many people are excited, pumped up, and here watching this tournament?
Yeah, you know, I think quite a few. Obviously, you know, tennis in Saskatchewan isn't maybe necessarily the first sport that comes to mind, but you'd be surprised to how many people, you know, get out and play, whether it's at the lake or, you know, on a city court. So many people I've talked to and I love tennis. I'd love to come and play, watch international players, top level players play, trying to earn those ranking points. So there's quite a few fans out there. And really, this is the weekend. This is the tournament to get your tennis fix in Saskatchewan.
We're chatting with Landon Grube, the tournament director for Saskatoon Challenger, which is a great tennis tournament. It's a international women's tennis tournament. What are the age groups of the people competing in this?
Yeah, we have a variety. So some of our younger athletes are going to be at 15, 16 years old. They're really looking to try and gain some experience, maybe sneak out a win here or there. We have some mid to late 20s as well, some individuals who've been on the tour for a while. You know, those are kind of more of your veterans. They would be up in the 200-300 kind of ranking point in the world. And then we have, you know, kind of that early 20 who are really truly trying to break into, you know, say the top 100. We have a few players trying to qualify for the U.S. Open here in a couple weeks. So it spreads the gambit there.
We have people from all over the globe. It's an international tournament, many homegrown competitors in this?
Well, we have a lot of Canadians, and we do have one Saskatchewan player, Taya Chavez. She's originally from Regina. Mm-hmm. So she's currently in the double semifinal that'll be happening this afternoon, actually.
Okay, well, let's talk about, because it is running through the weekend, Sunday is the finals. Where is it happening, and where can people get tickets?
Yeah, all the action is at Riverside Badminton and Tennis Club, which is in the beautiful Victoria Park. Tickets and all information can be found at SaskatoonChallenger.com.
Okay, so it's easy place. Have you been getting a lot of fans out, a lot of people there cheering on the games, the matches?
Absolutely. No, the fan turnout has been fantastic. You know, we're getting lots of people out, especially for our highlight matches, cheering on Taya, particularly the local girl. But, you know, just everyone's so excited to see this top-level talent, and we're all trying to figure out, okay, who's going to be the next Victoria Mboku, right? Who's going to make it big? Who are we going to be seeing on the TV, you know, in a few months, in a year's time? Because we get to say that we saw them here first.
Sure. And it's got to be great. I'm picturing some of the spectators that are children that are there. And doesn't matter boy or girl, but you think some of these young female athletes who look up to, this is really an inspirational opportunity to watch a mentor and could be the influence that they need to get into the sports. So you never know when someone in the stands, this is the catalyst for their excitement. No different than any sport when someone watches something and they look back after they get into their career and reflect and say, this is the reason that I got going. So that, I'm guessing that's happening.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, yeah, we have plenty of young children coming. You know, my own personal daughters, you know, they were there when Victoria won her tournaments, and now they're big, huge fans of her. They're taking tennis lessons. So that's just an example of the inspiration that not only this tournament will leave, but the spectators will go away with as well.
All right, so the matches are happening through the weekend, the finals on Sunday, and just one more time, Landon, give us that website where we can grab tickets.
Yeah, tickets and information at SaskatoonChallenger.com.
Landon Group, tournament director, thank you for coming in. Appreciate it. Good luck with the wrap-up and the finale this weekend.
Thank you so much.
Lots going on. We get into a session of Bugs and Hugs coming up next. 1-877-332-8255. What's on your mind? Good or bad? Bugging you or a hug you'd like to send out? We're here to hear from you next on 650 CKOM 980 CJME.